The grounding of the 79-foot commercial fishing vessel Pacific Paradise offshore, less than a mile off Diamond Head near the Outrigger Canoe Club, raises a number of concerns, environmental and legal. How did the vessel get there? Who was in charge? The Coast Guard never got a distress call and had to rescue 19 foreign nationals aboard. We spoke with Robert Richmond, director of the University of Hawaii's Kualoa Marine Laboratory, about the grounding.
In any ship grounding, there's basically the two elements of physical damage, which is just what the impact of the fishing vessel hull does to the environment, in this case, a coral reef area right off of Waikiki.
Yeah.
And the second is the water quality, which is tied to any of the chemicals on board. According to the reports I've seen, there was about 8,000 gallons of diesel, 55 gallons of hydraulic fluid and other kinds of lubricants, and then, of course, the batteries and the lead acid from the batteries as well. So there's a chemical and then there's a physical.
How much damage can that do?
A substantial amount. It depends on what happens after the grounding in the immediate area, in addition to any leakage of fuel oil or any other pollutants and toxicants on board the vessel. Fishing boats, like all other boats, have anti-fouling paints on the bottom. That can include heavy metals such as copper. They can have chemicals that are toxic to marine life. So you have the immediate area of the physical impact and also any of the anti-fouling paints that are chipped off or scraped along the bottom. And then any leakage of materials such as oil compounds and other toxicants on board the vessel. So it can be anywhere from the immediate area to hundreds of meters surrounding the vessel.
How much is are things like this regulated, you know, the presence of different chemicals on board a vessel like this?
They are. So the Coast Guard is the first responder when there's a ship grounding, and according to all the reports I've read, the Coast Guard did respond. Interestingly, in looking at the material in the news, it was eyewitnesses that reported it to the Coast Guard, not the original vessel captain or the people who operate the vessel. But the Coast Guard responded, and they have a responsibility. There's something called OPA 90, the Oil Pollution Act, which deals with things like ship groundings and oil spills that can occur with them. And then EPA can often be involved in this case. Since Hawaii doesn't have a state EPA, it would likely be the Department of Health and their water quality group.
Why didn't the crew or the captain report it? Is there any way to figure that out?
Not to my knowledge. I just looked at the other news reports from the Associated Press, from the local TV stations, and the Star Advertiser. But according to the reports I read, it was the eyewitnesses that filed the first report with the Coast Guard that initiated their response.
I'm assuming under maritime law, it's the responsibility of the captain to do some notification, yeah?
I'm not a legal expert, but it would seem to me appropriate. And it was interesting, too, that in addition to the captain and the typical crew, which on a fishing vessel would be seven, maybe nine fishers, there were reportedly a total of 20 people on board the vessel, which included, from my reading of the news, individuals that were going to be put onto other fishing vessels that do not have authority to set foot on U.S. soil.
Which kind of leads to the question of how does a vessel get grounded in this particular place in the first place?
That certainly is a huge question to me. I mean, it's not as if people don't know where Waikiki is, that the vessel being that close to shore is a concern, that they should be navigating well outside of these shallow areas. And it's not just for environmental and safety of the reefs and the other areas around it, but for the captain and crew. The fact that it was that close to a shallow area is a surprise to me.
Well, a vessel with too many crew members, more crew members than needed, and a grounding in a pretty unlikely place, something might seem to be falling through the cracks here in terms of maritime regulation, no?
Oh, certainly, and I think, again, I can only go by what I've read, and certainly the responsibilities of the Coast Guard and other law enforcement, Customs and Border Patrol would be the agencies that would address those kinds of issues. But as a marine biologist, first and foremost, I'm very concerned when accidents like this happen that affect the coastal resources of Hawaii and beyond. And as a human being, I'm also concerned about the reports that have been coming out from the Hawaii Longliners fleet about, you know, what's been dubbed human trafficking in the reports, the fact that the fishers on board these vessels have been alleged to be individuals that get very low salaries, live in areas of very poor conditions. And so, you know, the marine biologist in me is worried about the ocean. The human in me is concerned about the way in which people are treated.
Because it would seem that this grounding is perhaps a points to a much larger problem, practically ocean-wide, yeah?
Certainly. And, you know, the Hawaii Longliners Association and the Western Pacific Fisheries Management Council, known as WESPAC, have a long history of trying to avoid any kind of regulation on fishing. And my most recent interactions have been on the expansion of the Papanaumokuakea Marine National Monument in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands. That, interestingly enough, this effort for the expansion began within the Native Hawaiian community. A number of highly respected Native Hawaiian practitioners, people like Nainoa Thompson, William Isla, Kamana Apono Crab, the CEO of Office of Hawaiian Affairs, approached the Obama administration about expanding protections in the Papanaumokuakea Marine National Monument. As a marine scientist, I actually was brought in after the initial efforts by the Native Hawaiian community to provide science in support of it. And what we found ourselves was constantly in confrontations with the Hawaii Longliners Association, with WESPAC, about additional protections, which they fought tooth and nail. They're now fighting to try to open up the Pacific remote islands and other areas to fishing, when in fact sustainability tells us that this is the wrong direction to go and actually works against the interests of the fishing community themselves.
Momentum would seem to be on that side.
Well, there's a huge concern. A lot of us have been very concerned. We thought that the movement forward under the Obama administration for the expansion of Papanaumokuakea and previously three of the five islands in the Pacific remote islands were very sound decisions based on good cultural considerations, sound science, and the whole hope for sustainability in an ocean where most scientists would agree we need to set aside about 30% of the ocean into protection if there will be a legacy of fish for future generations. We're now at about 3%. And so these continued efforts by WESPAC and groups like the Hawaii Longliners Association to undercut the protections that are so sound is certainly disturbing to me.
Robert Richmond is the director of the University of Hawaii's Kualo Marine Laboratory, where he conducts research on marine conservation and coral reefs.